You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network.
We're talking trash.
This is trash.
This is sweet, sweet trash.
Don't be talking trash.
You believe these trash bozos?
Don't be talking trash. I don't need to hear no trash from you.
I'm the trash man.
Oh, I love trash.
All right, hour two here on Talking Trash. If you missed it yesterday, we've got a special programming announcement. We have a change to our programming format this week as we make way on the network for the debut of Carton and Friends with Craig Carton. So the show starts on Thursday, which is MLB opening day. It's going to air at 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. Eastern right here on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. And that's not all. You'll be able to watch it on YouTube, Twitter, Twitch TV, Periscope, Mixer, Facebook, and wherever else that you watch your video. Thursday, we will have former New Jersey Governor Chris Christie and former Major League pitcher Al Leiter joining him. So that should be a hoot. That should be a hoot. All right. Good morning, Scott. Welcome to the show.
Good morning, Costanza. And, you know, keep calling me the ball-headed stooge. I just want to point out you should look in a mirror. You don't exactly look like Jason Worth or Noah Syndergaard yourself.
I could have long flowing hair if I wanted to. I just choose not to.
Yeah, maybe if you got extensions. And, you know, stooge does fit because the dictionary definition says a person who serves to support or assist others, particularly in doing an unpleasant work. So I'm here to support your unpleasant ass. So thank you.
Wow. Sounds like he came
coming
prepared
in hard.
With yeah. All right.
Yeah.
All right. Back to what's that?
That sounds like months, but why the profanity, Scott? You're usually professional.
You've said the SH word many times on the more shows.
So now
you, I did it with the other day.
Now you're deferring to others. Now you're not taking your own, you know, mistakes and owning up to them.
I think there's a lot worse on TV than ass.
So we said,
yeah, all right, you're not wrong there.
No,
let's
not
get back to football. I wanted to get let Scott weigh in on some of this stuff. Carson Wentz is apparently way ahead of schedule. So rehab was originally expected for 12 months. He says he's going to be ready for opening day. So if that is the case and he is ready for opening day, is Nick Foles going to be on the Eagles roster? Scott, you first.
I believe so because, you know, as you saw with the Super Bowl run last year, you have to have a solid backup quarterback in case something happens to the starter. People look at things from the outside like a fantasy football kind of way, you know, because that's a way, you know, a lot of people watch the NFL play fantasy football, and you're taught by, you know, experts on this channel, and we've been on Roto Experts. If you have a surplus, you trade away the other guy. But the real football doesn't work like that. The NFL is an incredibly violent sport. And as we've seen already with Wentz and other quarterbacks, you don't want your season going down the tubes when your starter goes down. Look what happened. Not only did not go down the tubes, they won the Super Bowl. They don't want to have a situation like when Tony Romo got hurt, they went have to go to Brandon Whedon. So I think the Eagles are going to keep Nick Foles.
Yeah, plus he already, you know, collected the $3 million roster bonus last week. They would have already dealt him, and they've asked him, you know, you want to be a starter elsewhere, and he feels comfortable being in Philly. And what's the alternative of getting a first-round pick? Maybe you get a second for Nick Foles. Scott just said it. You win a Super Bowl, and I think it's important to keep a guy like Nick Foles there just in case.
You nailed it. He already got the roster bonus. He doesn't make any money, so they just keep him on the team.
Has nobody offered him a starting job?
We don't know what the conversations have been.
Yeah.
I think there was an opportunity there in Buffalo, but I think, you know, from reading all the tea leaves, as the cliche goes, I don't think that the Eagles were willing to deal him unless they got a real superb offer in return that, you know, would basically blow them over. You know, they want to keep this guy. You know, they realize how many starting quarterbacks can you really depend on in the league? You want to have a quality backup.
You know, something could change. You know, Tony brought up in the last hour the Bradford deal that happened so close to the season. Like, if somebody's quarterback goes down with a week left in the season and their backup is, for example, Blaine Gabbert, who just signed with the Titans. Who knows? Maybe there's something, you know, and at that point, Carson Wentz maybe even more ahead of schedule and looking like he's ready to go. Maybe at that point they would make a deal, but I think right now they're pretty comfortable, and I think Foles is comfortable as well in that backup situation. It's crazy to think, but this guy wanted to retire from football. It was Reed and Peterson who talked him out of it. He was cut on national TV, and he didn't want to play football anymore, and he was talked out of it. I think he feels pretty comfortable in the spot that he's in.
They get a first-round pick for him because he's only going to get $4 million. He's only worth $4 million.
Think about that, Tony. Think about what you said this morning. You can get a first-round pick for Nick Foles,
yeah,
but not for Odell Beckham.
Yeah, that's the way the money goes in the NFL.
Yeah, that's the way it works. Yeah, it's the business part of it. That's interesting. That's so interesting. All right, the other riveting piece of NFL news that I note this morning is there was a Saints cheerleader posing with a one-piece thingy on the internet, and she's been fired. Now, I saw this thing.
Yeah. Mike, what did you think? It said that there was her nipple was showing, and that's why she was. I didn't see her nipple
or
anything, but I looked at the picture and I didn't see a nipple.
Yeah. Did anybody
else see a nipple?
I didn't look at it
like it was a scratch and sniff or anything. I didn't look at it that closely, but it doesn't look any more revealing than what she wears when she's out there dancing around.
That's what I was thinking. That her costume that she wears on Sundays is more revealing.
Yeah, the Saints being sticklers, it sounds like maybe they had it out for her. They said there was background that she went with a player to a party, and she's not allowed to do with that, so maybe they had it out for her. And she called it a two-beast bathing suit, but that doesn't really look like a bathing suit. You guys are right that, you know, the Saints wear cheerleaders wear something just as revealing. Like, technically, she broke the rules, but I think the Saints had it out for this particular girl.
Wait, what are the rules? There. You can't wear one piece of lingerie.
You can't show any people. The Saints rules that I read about is you can't post any pictures of yourself that are revealing, that are in lingerie, etc. You know, and I think they looked at this lingerie more than a bathing suit.
Yeah, and she's saying there's.
Well, I don't know that it was a bathing suit. What was it?
I think it was
one. She said it was a one piece bathing suit, but it doesn't look like that to me.
It looked like Target
something
lingerie.
A figure skater would wear.
Beyonce didn't buy.
Oh, you don't think
no,
she got
Beyonce
that at Target?
Was spotted at Christmas shopping at Target too. It's not the first time.
Yeah, see, Scott.
Yeah,
she,
no,
what's
hold
wrong
on.
With Beyonce's? Everyone thinks it's just fake. It's Photoshop. There's no way Beyonce would.
No,
start,
it's
shop
not
at
Photoshop. First of all, Scott, you're supposed to be a reporter. How do you know that picture wasn't from the one time she was there at Christmas?
Look, I know you, Tony, okay? You hate wealthy people. You're always knocking them. You're talking about Joel Osteen's fireplace.
Answer the effing question. How do you know it's not the same picture from when she went in Christmas the one time?
How do you know it's not really her? Photoshop. You always
no,
knocking
I didn't
wealthy
say,
people.
I didn't
it's
say
Photoshop.
It was Photoshop. No, I didn't say that. Chris said it. Who are you yelling at?
He let me tell you something. That's a joke, okay? Beyonce can shop at Target. Maybe she grew up shopping at Target with her family.
And then she got out. It's like when you grow up in the ghetto. Shopper. You leave, right, when you become rich, and you never go back again.
So Target's the ghetto? I shop at the ghetto?
Yes. Yes, it is.
It is 7-Eleven on
sorry,
the East
we don't
Coast, and we're arguing
like
about...
Be fair, it's
Target. I just want to put that in perspective.
Hey, you know when your husband cheats at you, you shop at Target.
That's right. There's no way she's not spending his money somewhere else. Gosh.
She's got tons of it. She doesn't need
to
spend money.
All right. Over to baseball.
Probably shopping for a kid.
Off of Target here. Greg Bird, Chris Meany, what am I doing with him? I just got him. He's out 6 to 8 weeks now again. I paid $12 for him in my 5x5 260 auction. What am I doing here? Just put him on the shelf for 2 months?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, you have to put him on the shelf for 2 months. This and it's probably going to be much like last year. Here we are again, deja vu of Bird. I mean, if anyone took this guy last year and put him on the shelf in the DL all year and waited for him, you were frustrated. You know, looking at first baseman, Logan Morrison wasn't drafted in a lot of spots. This guy had 38 bombs last year. He's going to hit in the middle of that Twins lineup. There might be some regression, but it's somebody that could help people out.
Oh, that is just a great choice. Now, I'm going to be doing another Fantasy Baseball Insider report on Roto Experts today, and I was talking to an American League scout, And he says, when we saw that Logan Morrison signed our division, all our pitchers groaned. They absolutely hate facing him.
Yeah, he's patient at the plate, too. And, yeah, you know, he fixed his swing last year. I'm buying in.
I don't know, man.
So, go ahead.
You guys are on drugs. Greg Bird. What does Dr. A say about Greg Bird, Scotty?
I'm on inside injuries right now, Tony. See how the great minds think alike? Said the season hasn't even started on inside injuries. You can search for Greg Bird. He's looking at an 8-week optimal recovery time, but he will remain high risk throughout at least the first half of the season.
Yeah, high
risk. So go to insideinjuries.com. You can check out all the graphs with his health performance factor, his injury hotspots, and it notes he has 6 total injuries in the last 12 months and 7 in the last 3 years.
Wow.
That's Greg Bird at insideinjuries.com. Just use the search box at the top.
Yeah, Mike, you may need to find another option at first.
Yeah.
Overall, he's 39.17%. That is very high.
Yeah, I Googled his white blood cell count, and I couldn't find it.
What a wacko.
What a wacko. You see the upside, though, 9 homers in 48 games.
Who's going to be the first baseman there?
It's going to be a split of Tyler Austin and Neil Walker.
Yeah.
Yeah, they'll rotate through some guys.
Huh. All right.
Walker's
Clayton
got some
Kershaw.
Upside, too.
Oh,
Clayton
I agree.
Kershaw completed spring training with a 0 ERA. Zero.
Season form.
What I mean, does that sway you in any way, or is it not make a difference at all?
You can have a 9 ERA in the spring. It wouldn't matter. It's the spring.
Yeah, but no, Scott, but the thing is, he came off a back injury last year, and then he came back perfect. The reason it sways me a little bit is we've seen guys with back injuries, now 2 years in a row he's had it, that they go out and they get, especially a guy like Clayton Kershaw, they have all the money in the world, and they seek every specialist in the world, and they come back, and they've worked on that. They've addressed that situation. I have more confidence in him. I think people are going to be shocked, because I was in drafts, he was the third or fourth pitcher taken.
Yeah, I got him at number 11 overall in the GST on Sunday.
See, I love that value for Kershaw, but I wouldn't take him with a third or fourth pick because of the back injuries you just talked about, Tony. I like the fact that he was able to go through preseason, but when you've spent two lengthy stints on the DL over the past couple of years, and yes, this guy is the greatest pitcher, but we have to just split hairs here a little bit. Caper-9, just, you know, slightly down. The most home runs he's ever given up, I know it was across the board, home runs were up. Fly ball rate was up just a little bit. I have an issue spending a top 3-4 pick on Kershaw. But, you know, where he's going at 11, I think that's great. I think it's fine.
You know what's crazy about that, though, is I think the injury is a little over-exasperated because today, you mentioned home runs are up. Innings pitched are down, too, right? So we pitched 175 innings, and we're looking at, he was way down. It's still a decent amount of innings. If you get 175 elite innings with an ERA of 2.3, it still makes a huge difference.
Yeah, inside injuries says Kershaw's overall injury risk is low at 12.5%. Health performance factor above average at 66.6%. They say he's a high risk, high reward starting pitcher, but his ceiling is higher than any other pitcher if he stays healthy, which I think we all know. With a back injury, I really worry about it, though, with like a guy in advanced age as a hitter. We've seen Don Mattingly, David Wright, you know, and it's interesting when you watch Wright when he was having his back problems, when he was in the lineup, he was still hitting well for power, et cetera. You know, Miguel Cabrera's had a good spring, but I just, at his age, and kind of like looking at David Wright, I'm scared to draft Miguel Cabrera.
I'm not scared
anymore. I worry
about
it with a hitter.
Ever since I saw Tiger Woods be back.
That's golf, though. It's not baseball.
Well, yeah, but golf's... So, Scott, you're a guy that gets all pissed off when we say NASCARs are big, fat, slob guys that are not athletes, but you want to insult golfers.
Wait a minute. Who's a big, fat slob in NASCAR?
He retired. I don't know whatever his name was.
Oh, you
were
going to say Tony Stewart?
Yeah. I don't know anyone else.
Tony Stewart was a spokesman for Burger King and actually showed me the Burger King gold card. He was so proud of it.
Hey, Scott, I see you chirping about Boston on Twitter. What is it? You like the Red Sox over the Yankees?
Yeah, everybody's talking about the Yankees, but the Red Sox, and I did my Fantasy Baseball Insider report on the Red Sox late last week, and David Price, from everybody I'm talking to in Boston, is really prime for a big bounce-back year, and if Eduardo Rodriguez can stay healthy, and they added J.D. Martinez, even Brian Cashman himself says, everybody's talking about us, but the Red Sox, I feel like the team to beat. You know, because you know this team could have very, very good pitching. You know, Drew Pomeranz, hopefully he stays healthy. You know, big bounce back year from Xander Bogaerts. Rafael Devers could have a breakout year. The Red Sox are really loaded.
They're both phenomenal teams.
The Yankees pitching though is suspect, right?
Yeah, Boston has better pitching. Watch what David Price.
The Yankees bullpen is better though.
Absolutely. The Yankees will go get a pitcher.
They'll get a pitcher halfway through the season at the deadline, whatever they do. The thing with the Yankees, they only need to get to the sixth, right? I mean, we're seeing that with a lot of teams. Get to the sixth and turn it over to your bullpen.
Who wins the division? Quick, Scotty.
Boston.
Yankees.
All right, we'll be back with more nonsensical information from the bald-headed stooge just after this.
Do you love watching your fantasy players score a winning touchdown? Now imagine you actually got to call that touchdown play. The Fan Controlled Football League is putting play calling in the hands of fans with real professional football players running the action. Visit fcfl.io to learn more.
Alright, the listeners are begging me for some trivia here, so I've spent the commercial looking up some trivia questions. I'm going to give them what they want, Tony. I'm going to give them what they want.
I can't believe that anyone... Trivia is a dying art. Everybody's
sitting home at 7:20 in the morning begging for trivia? But, okay, here we go.
It's the people who want who are getting ready for HQ.
Yeah, I guess.
Oh, yeah. I found out about that yesterday.
They gave out like $100,000 yesterday, didn't they?
Yeah.
It was $100,000 and a pair of sneakers.
Nice.
All right.
And they want to go up to $1 million, so everyone get on the HQ. Win yourself some money.
Let's see what we got. Okay. What is the only city in the U.S. that has three major sports teams with the same colors?
Pittsburgh.
Minnesota.
Correct. Correctamundo.
Nice. What is it? Pittsburgh?
That's one for Bavona, Pittsburgh. That would be black and gold.
Whatever
you call it.
Well, technically, the Penguins are gold, and then the Pirates and the Steelers are yellow. But, you know, that's just being technical here.
Yeah. Who was the first ever pick by the USFL's Los Angeles Express?
Steve Young.
No.
He was a UCLA
quarterback.
Tommy Maddox.
No.
That's a good guess.
Really?
That is a good guess. Yeah. I thought that was it.
Ask Mike DeMergis this one.
I got nothing.
Jim Kelly was the Gamblers.
Yeah.
So I'll narrow it down. Dan Marino or Bobby Hebert?
Bobby Hebert.
Pick one.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Former Saint.
No. It was Dan Marino.
Dan Marino.
That's why we didn't
get it. Wow.
It is.
How about that?
Yeah. Huh?
Mikey doesn't like get beaten on trivia. I got to come out
and stymie. Actually, might have won a championship in the USFL if he played there.
True or false, the 1932 Chicago Bears set a record for having six of their 14 games end in a tie. True or false?
True. It's too wacky. True.
Yeah, it's true, because if it's five, you're an a-hole for asking the question.
He's an a-hole anyway.
It actually is true, but the interesting part is the first three games of the season ended 0-0.
That's some riveting football there.
That
everybody complained
fun.
About the Jags and Bills playoff game. I mean, nobody scored points in those ones.
Was Lenny Melman right. in that game?
True or false?
Might have been playing.
Due to many of their players fighting in World War I, the Philadelphia Eagles and Pittsburgh Steelers merged and became the Steagles.
False.
I think this is true, actually.
Or wait, Steagles or how would the Steelers, Eagle or E? That's the best I can
think. They actually
Steagles.
Merged for a little while.
I think this is true, too.
Yeah, it is true.
This sounds a little
You said false, Chris.
I said false. I mean, it just I just can't see that happening.
It's true.
I think it did.
Oh, okay.
The Steagles. Scott,
could have called them the Eelers.
Oh, okay. That's true. Eelers. All right. Yeah.
Oh, look at this. What is this? The Marlins turned down. You guys know who Marlins Man is? Scott, you said Marlins have no fans. Yeah. You guys know who the Marlins Man is?
This is one of the three fans that they have. And, you know, the guy consistently, like, sits
he's
behind home plate. You know, and he's always getting on television.
Because he's got two hot women with him all the time.
So, yeah. Oh, yeah. He used to hire a model to sit on each side of him. Yeah.
It's true.
He offered the Marlins $200,000 for his seat in back of home plate. $200,000 for 3 years. So he gets to retain the seat.
Maybe he doesn't like looking at those aquariums.
They told him no. They said
no. He sent in the check with a letter. They sent him the check back.
Why? Well, I guess
they don't
want
to guarantee
there,
it
yeah.
to him. They don't want to guarantee him the seat. They started negotiating.
They look, probably as many fans
Jeter's
are
really
show up,
rid
he
of
probably get
they?
It for $200. So, you know, they're probably doing him a favor.
If they're in such dire financial need. Why wouldn't they take the $200K?
They're not in dire financial need, actually. They've cut so much payroll, they're actually going to be profitable.
Yeah.
I mean, $200,000 probably doesn't make a difference. But that's odd, isn't it?
They could probably pay Lewis Brinson, right?
Derek gets $5 million bonus if they show a profit. And the thing is, he only invests.
They're on their way,
Here's the funniest thing. He only invested $25 million in the team, and he has a five-year contract to run it. And every year they're profitable, he gets a $5 million bonus. He's going to get his money back.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, they take the fans.
JT Realmuto will be gone by June.
That's
they
crazy.
Need as many fans as they can get. Take the check, Jeter.
Seriously, I think it's just because he just doesn't want to sit around those aquariums.
That's odd. Scotty, what is this walk-up song bracket stuff that's on Sports Grid? What is this stuff?
Yeah, this is Tom McFeely's creation. 64 fantasy experts were asked, if you were a Major League Baseball player, what would be your walk-up song? And readers and fans got to vote on it. We're getting down to the final four while the results for the Elite Eight are tabulated.
Fans? What fans?
Fans of the fantasy experts, people who follow them.
And who's winning the bracket here?
Yeah, like who's gonna win? What's your best guess here, Scott?
I think Smells Like Teen Spirit is probably gonna win, but Brad Evans is Ain't Nothing But a G Thing has a good chance too. And the divisions were actually the regions were named after famous fantasy experts like Ron Chandler, Matthew Berry, etc.
Nobody finds this as lame?
It's pretty lame.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty lame.
So, Tony, I'm guessing, were you in this, Tony?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's why it's
lame, but he was in it. He says it's lame, but he was in it.
Oh, it's lame. You can't not do it if 64 people do it. Mine was YMCA because I wanted to feel like I watched the Olympic men's speed skating, and I felt like we were an all-inclusive society. And I think that going up with wood in my hands, I wanted the YMCA to represent me because I think those are the guys that best resent guys with wood in their hands.
See, this is why we did this promotion, just to hear Tony say things like that. I got knocked out in the second round.
Tony, how long did you last with that song?
I don't know. I didn't keep track. I didn't. team.
I think it's a strong 11.
I think Tony and I both got knocked out in the second round.
Well, you probably got knocked out because you chose a Kiss song, I'm guessing, Scott.
Yeah, New York Groove, which is a standard. So.
It's a standard for who?
Standard for who?
New Yorkers.
Bavona,
no, it isn't. Billy Joel. Groove?
You don't live here.
Billy Joel's New York State of Mind is the standard, right? Or Frank Sinatra's My Way.
New York Groove's played at just about every ballpark in New York City. Every sports ballpark.
So it exceeds one of those two I just mentioned?
Well, whenever the Mets win...
No, I didn't say that.
Whenever the Mets win, it's...
When the Mets win, they play New York Groove.
No, they don't. No, they play New York State of Mind.
No, they play New York Groove.
I'm pretty sure they play New York State of Mind when the Mets win. I know when the Yankees lose, they play New York State of Mind.
The Yankees play New York
when they lose. No, the Yankees play New York, New York. When they win, when they lose, they play New York State of Mind.
Yeah, when the Mets Bavona, will give, play
give,
New York
Groove.
Give
me some New York Groove, Bavona. Give me some New York Groove. Let me see.
And then the Giants score a touchdown, they play New York Groove.
So those aren't happening a lot lately.
I don't think Odell Beckham is putzing around in the end zone to New York Groove.
The Kiss
well,
music?
It's the truth. It's the truth.
He's Does peeing, that, has anybody peeing done in the end zone the, like a dog.
The end zone, yeah. Did anybody stick their tongue out? Like Gene Simmons when they for a
no, that's technically an Ace Frehley song. It was on Ace Frehley's solo album when he was still a member of Kiss.
Hey, this seems like a Mets victory.
They play this when they score a touchdown.
Yep.
This sounds like pop.
They also play
this
in the Ranger game.
This is their touchdown song. Yeah. Right.
Yep.
This is like a pop.
Oh,
song,
I thought this
Scott.
Was YMCA actually. or the Village People.
I don't think you'll get
this is very much New York Groove.
Working for a billboard at any time soon.
It's New York Groove, yeah. I would have Seek and Destroy. I'd get that.
No offense, Scott, but I see why you're out pretty quickly. Meany, were you in this contest?
I was not. No, it was Seek and Destroy in there. Metallica. That'd be mine.
That's one of the final eight.
Oh,
yeah.
I would be voting for that.
How do you feel
still,
about being
still
omitted
vote
from
over
this contest?
Yeah, I don't feel great about it, Mike. To be honest with you, I would have liked to have been a part of it.
This is
YMCA.
Yeah, Tony, I don't see how you didn't advance with this.
I know. Well, unfortunately, I thought we were farther along in gay rights than we were, so I should have chosen a heterosexual song.
You had to ask.
We used to be. We used to be.
This is basically Elite Eight with this song.
This is also a standard in Yankee Stadium.
Yeah, now they play this at the ballpark.
They play this during the seventh inning stretch, and the fans in the bleachers, make very Tony Cincotta-like creative, lyrical, takes on the song.
I'm just saying that, I mean, YMCA is inclusive to every kind. You had the cop, who Mike thinks gets the rod because he's a guy that he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
I actually have to say we have a pretty good New York Groove version that probably would have advanced a little bit better for Scott. Do you guys mind if I play it quickly?
I can't wait to hear this.
Back.
That's what I want to hear. 7:30 in the morning. Kiss.
In the Roto Experts Groove. Back in the Roto Experts Groove, fantasy executive. I'm back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove, Matt Modica. I'm back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove, Sussmania. Back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove. I'm
I like
back.
That one.
Back in the Roto Experts
Groove.
That's
pretty good.
By the way,
wait a minute. I wasn't prepared for this, really. Bavona, start that over and turn it up. I wasn't prepared for that. Give me. I want to feel
it. In the Roto Experts Groove. Back. Yeah. Back in the Roto Experts Groove. Fantasy executive. I'm back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove. Matt Modica. I'm back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove. Sussmania. Back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove.
Tony, this is when you and I
I'm
used to have
back.
Karaoke Fridays.
Back in the Roto Experts Groove. I'm back. Back in the Roto Experts Groove in Studio 34.
That's pretty
Scotty,
good.
Scotty, good on you. Not bad, Scott. There. Not bad.
Yeah.
So, Chris, what would your walk-up song
by
would
the
be?
By the way, let me point out real quick. You asked Sussman yesterday, does he have a nickname? He is Sussmania. I just said it right there.
Yeah. I knew it was, yeah, some kind of wrestling name. You know, Mike, I would go, again, back to Seek and Destroy. I would just be so amped up and fired up. The crowd would be out of their seat. They'd be great. They'd want me to break the baseball bat over my knee. I'd be ready to go with Seek and Destroy.
By the way, do you know what they do at Yankee Stadium when they play YMCA? Now, I'm going to report this. This is dangerous. But I'm on a show with Tony Cincotta, so maybe I can get away with it. I'm just reporting this, okay? Let's say they're playing the Red Sox, right? Jackie Bradley Jr. is playing center field. They'll start singing along saying, Jackie Bradley is... okay? You can guess for yourself along to the chorus. Wonderful bleacher pictures at Yankee Stadium. So
what do they say? Say that again. Jackie Bradley is what?
They'll sing along. They go, instead of saying, you can stay at the YMCA, they'll go... And we know that Jackie Bradley is gay.
Yankees fans. Yeah. Yankees fans are very original.
Okay.
They're bad in Toronto. the fans in Toronto are really bad, actually, in the outfield. I sometimes get embarrassed. Yeah, with some of the things that they say. Like
I Brett can Gardner attest to that.
They singled out Brett Gardner, and they were talking about his sister, like saying – like pretty inappropriate things about her sister. They knew her name. They knew where she went to school, and it certainly got Gardner's attention.
What are you reading the media notes before the game? For that trash talk.
Maybe there may be like a posse in Toronto outside the Rogers Centre that just gathers together before games. And
yeah, Gardner, we know all about you.
But Chris, wouldn't they at the end of the game? Wouldn't they be like, "Oh, sorry about all that, eh?"
you would think, but not all Canadians are like myself.
I think the worst fans that I've experienced has been in Philadelphia. Just ruthless.
You told a story about going there when the Phillies played the Mets, right?
Oh, I've been there quite often, but they're just ruthless. It's you know, in all stadiums, you can get a hard time as an opposing fan, but just ruthless, like nonstop, starting before the game.
Did you tell me a story when you were on the train with your kids? Yeah.
Oh, my kids were little. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, tell the story. You're on the train with your kids.
Oh, I don't want to tell. I can leave my kids out of this, but they're ruthless for a long time. It was ugly. It was ugly. But I guess anywhere you go. Although I did go to a Jets Packers game, and the Packers fans at Lambeau. Were the nicest fans ever.
Oh yeah,
they bought me beer. They thanked me for coming to the stadium. They let me tailgate with them. They were absolutely fantastic. It was something that was surreal.
They thought you were Jason Alexander.
No. They bought me beer too, and they thanked me for coming to their city, and they let me bang their sheep.
Oh jeez.
Oh my god.
Oh jeez.
Yeah, they don't let you do that in Philadelphia.
No.
Quick change here. Scott, Jake Lamb will never. Are the Seahawks trading Earl Thomas, Scott?
It could happen. It really could happen. Right now, he's the sixth highest paid safety in the NFL. He wants Eric Berry money, and the Seahawks are thinking that you know, at age 30, you know, maybe they don't want to give him that kind of money. So they might deal him. You know, there was rumors that they were talking to Dallas here. You know, John Schneider says, you know, this team still has pieces that they can make the playoffs with, and, you know, they're listening to all the offers.
There's that sheep.
It's Tony's flashback.
Tony, leave that sheep alone.
Step away from the
sheep.
I'm absolutely getting it done here.
You know, one of the things is...
You got to want it, sheep.
One of the things is you never know until you try it, right? Don't they teach you that in elementary school?
Yeah, you only live once, right? You got to try everything.
Somebody have a Shira?
Oh, my God. 844-843-6879. Please do not call. Please do not call that number. Call a different number. Oh, jeez. All right, we're going to take a well-deserved break right now. We come back, we're going to talk some NBA. We're going to talk some Overwatch. I know, Scotty, I know you like to talk Overwatch. We're going to talk some World Cup soccer and maybe some other things that I don't understand. So everybody can just take a pause and digest what just happened here, and we'll be back after this. We'll be right back.
Are you new to Daily Fantasy? Are you a veteran? Either way, you can better your chances of winning money and lots of it by going to DailyRoto.com. Multiple people have become millionaires thanks to the guys at Daily Roto. Why not take advice from the experts? You can become a millionaire too. Just go to DailyRoto.com to rock Daily Fantasy Sports.
There's a Polar to
Take it away,
Tony. Lyrics right there. Yeah,
I don't know, but I can't. How do you beat that, man? Scotty was in his zone.
That's a good song.
Finals. They actually get involved in the actual programming of these major sporting events going forward. Seems like kind of that's the way the world is going, you know? Digital?
Well, this I don't know if Major League Baseball has signed a deal with Facebook Live to do 25 afternoon games this year. So I would think that they're going to end up, maybe they do some pregame and postgame stuff on there, which eventually leads to them getting one more games.
Yeah, that's what I think too. I mean, last year they tried that out, right, Tony? Towards the end of the season, under the World Series. And so they got the deal this year. We're seeing, you know, games, you know, on Twitter, you know, the London games in the NFL you could watch online as well, digital, of course. You're right, Mike. That's the way things are going. And I think that's the biggest takeaway for me is just maybe like some behind the scenes, pregame, postgame, some interviews, some features like that.
Have any of you cut the cord?
No, but I'm close. I'm really. YouTube offers $40 a month. You get a 7-day free trial. And somehow they have like 40 cable stations on their YouTube channel.
Yeah, you can now even watch NFL Sunday Ticket without having DirecTV. So I can see why people are doing it. It's a lot of football fans will have it, have the DirecTV just for the football. But DirecTV has all kinds of, like, you know, contract kind of like hooks and everything that make it very difficult for you to get out of it.
In Canada, they got rid of the Sunday package. So there's a website that came out. It was like DAZN. And you can just stream every football game. Red Zone was on there. They have soccer games on there now. They're looking into potentially getting some NBA games in the future. And that was a subscription that was $15 a month. So
yeah, You could just go to the DirecTV website and they give you like a special price and you could just stream the games on your computer or like something like Xbox.
Digital world.
Do you guys use Reddit at all to watch the NBA games or anything else?
I still watch them on TV.
No.
Yeah.
I have cable, so I watch them on TV. And my Mavs
Do you have the
NBA
package?
They don't show
package?
Them on TV, so I have to stream them. Yeah.
Okay.
I just split it with a buddy, so it's no problem. All the games that are on national broadcast, which does suck about the NBA package, if you want to watch, for example, the Warriors play the Rockets, and that game is on Saturday on ABC or primetime, that won't be on the NBA package. Like, they'll black that game out. They black out the primetime games.
Yeah, my kid's in college, and he watches any NBA game he damn pleases. Pulls up Reddit and he gets the stream. I don't see how that works. Like, there's so many people doing it. Like, doesn't the NBA know that this is going on? They can't put a stop to that? Or do they not mind? It seems crazy to me.
They must know.
And I tried it myself. I was able to do it. He's like, hey, you just do this. And I was able to do it. I'm like, well, how hard could it be if I'm able to do it? You know, it's. You should try it tonight, Chris, just for shits and giggles. Just go on Reddit and type in NBA stream, and all the games come up. And you just click on one, and you're able to watch it. It's nuts.
I'll report back tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. All right, Scotty, I want to talk about the Overwatch League. So I know you do some reporting on this on sportsgrid.com, but I saw a story yesterday that the New York Excelsior team, they have a player named Kim Pine. I guess Pine is the nickname. Do Hyun. So Pine, I guess, is the guy's the player's name. And apparently he was the star of the Overwatch League's first the first quarter of the year. But then he went away, and he just wasn't on. And what had happened was basically he basically had a breakdown. Depression, stress, and panic disorder from playing Overwatch.
Yeah, you know, this guy was having a great season, you know, back in January. And the New York Excelsior, to their credit, actually won the Stage 2 title without him, beating the Philadelphia Fusion. And, you know, you talk about March Madness. For people who watch esports, the version of March Madness was the Philadelphia Fusion upsetting the London Spitfire to advance to the finals of Stage 2 recently, where they actually lost to the New York Excelsior. But, you know, Tony's been to esports matches. These guys are like modern-day digital sort of celebrities. You know, they're treated like celebrities. They play to full arenas. You know, there's a lot of pressure on these esports players. People may not consider them athletes, but with esports being so popular now, you know, these guys have become celebrities, and they seem to feel the same pressures that other famous sort of people do.
It's an insane thing.
Lame to me.
It's insane. No, it's insane. So I couldn't believe it. I'm at this thing, right? And so they're on a stage and they're playing. There's probably 10,000 people there. And the thing sold out. And all of a sudden they're asking this kid for autographs. I'm saying to my son, why are they asking this kid that plays games for autographs? He goes, Dad, he has a million YouTube followers. How many do you have?
Yep.
Yeah, it's extremely popular. I know a friend who's been to an arena too. They sold out, and it's packed just like there would be an NBA game, an NHL game inside the arena, and a lot on the line, as Scott mentioned. You know, a lot of pressure on some of these guys. I know you sit back. At first, I sat back and was like, okay, these are video games. Like, how much pressure can it be? I mean, you're supposed to be having fun here, relaxed, but it's such a tight-knit group from some of these teams that they don't want to let each other down, and they play for a lot of pride. It is crazy, and you can't knock it, I guess, until you've been in that environment and you've seen just how intense it actually is.
Yeah, and then
on the line too.
The first week of April at Madison Square Garden, they're having the first NBA 2K League draft, where they're actually going to draft the esports players. What the NBA 2K players, they had to go through tryouts online to see if they were eligible for the draft. You know, you have to make your way through the Pro-Am tournament, and then you're eligible for the draft at Madison Square Garden. I think it's on April 4th.
You trying out?
No. I'm okay at 2K. I'm better at Madden.
How do would you consider these people athletes, these guys who play video games?
It all depends. Like, a lot of people have said they're not athletes because they're not really using their body. But you know, like what is the definition of an athlete? An athlete is a person who has trained their skills in exercises, sports, or games requiring physical strength or agility. And you know, that would apply to a NASCAR driver, but I don't think it would apply to an esports player. It requires physical strength, agility, or stamina. So I guess you know, that part of the definition, physical strength, agility, or stamina, you know, that kind of takes out an esports player. That doesn't mean and saying they're not an athlete doesn't mean that what they're not doing is not competitive. It's like when I talk about wrestlers, you know, that they're not, it's all scripted. They're not athletes because, you know, they're not actually playing for a result, but they're very athletic. By saying, like, wrestlers are not athletes is not disrespecting what they do. It takes incredible amount of, you know, physical strength and skill, you know, to be a wrestler. And it takes an incredible amount of concentration, hand-eye coordination, et cetera, you know, to be an esports player. You know, by saying they're not an athlete is not putting it down.
All right. Hold on just one sec. Hold on. Let me back up. So the esports player, I get it, he's using his brain, but he's got he's what, using his thumbs? I don't know if you use any other fingers. I don't know if he's got strong hands or thumbs. What is the NASCAR person doing? The calf muscle pushing on the pedal and the turning of the steering wheel? Where is the strength coming in?
The incredible G-forces that a driver feels when he's in
the car. Are astronauts athletes?
They're not competing. They're not competing, astronauts, with each other. They're not racing in outer space. Dimwit, try to follow, okay? They're not racing in outer space, okay? These guys are competing with incredible G-forces, tossing them around. You have no idea what it's like to drive a stock car. It's not like driving a new car out of the dealership. These things are built differently by watching NASCAR for many, many years.
Scott, the only thing that I have to diffuse your point is I see a 142-pound woman getting not whipped around by G-forces.
Well, that's because they have the ability to control the car. But, you know, Danica Patrick's never won a race.
But she's an athlete, you just said.
She is an athlete.
You know, they asked a driver yesterday during the race, I forget who it was, about whether he was considered an athlete, and he said he didn't want to get into it. He brought up the definition, Scott, basically what you had just said, of how do you consider somebody an athlete, and he was comparing the physical strengths of, say, football and practicing every day to just, there's no physical strengths of me getting in the car. I'm not worn out, but mentally it certainly is a challenge, and there's some
incredible stamina. Incredible stamina and agility is needed.
Well, no, agility. Mentally,
you have no idea what it's like. You compare it.
Dude,
you're one of those guys who compare it to highway racing.
I have
driving on the highway.
What they do. I'm 50 years old.
It's not the same. That's like saying
get in a car every freaking day.
That's not NASCAR. There's no comparison. That's like saying shooting in your basketball in your backyard is like playing in the NBA. That's ridiculous.
What do they need to do? And they only need to turn one way, left.
Those guys are driving big, huge, monster machines at incredible
speeds.
They're cars. What are you
talking about? They're no bigger than my car.
They're not like a Ford Taurus. I don't think I can explain it to you. I don't think you have. Those things are going at 250 miles an hour. Those are some of the most grandiose built machines that are tough to drive. They're in close quarters. They're going incredible speeds, and they can knock into each other. You have to make such incredible split-second decision.
Where does the athletic skill come in?
Controlling the car. Controlling the car. When you talk about the banking and the turns and all the other cars that are around you, this is why they have an entire crew of spotters and everything else
Hold on a sec. Hold on. Let me ask you something. Let's do it this way. Do you drive?
No. What has it got to do with it?
All right.
I don't play in the NFL either. I analyze football.
Who does not even drive, who takes public transportation to get around everywhere...
That's disrespectful and inaccurate. That's
disrespectful to me. It takes to drive a car?
Do you play in the NFL and you analyze football? Do you play football on the weekends?
I'm not analyzing football. I'm just saying they're athletes.
Just because you don't play something doesn't mean you can't analyze
it. As a matter of fact,
they're
doing something I can't do. That's why they're professional athletes and I'm not.
Yeah, driving on the highway is not driving a NASCAR. That's the most ridiculous thing you'll ever hear.
I didn't say.
But
it
we
could
say that Mike is closer to a NASCAR athlete than a professional football player.
I agree.
True.
Golden
Tate. He's not close to being a NASCAR athlete.
He's closer to being an NFL player.
Golden Tate says NASCAR drivers are not athletes.
Yeah, you know what? Donovan McNabb said the same thing.
What a boss.
Donovan McNabb said the same thing, and then Jimmy Johnson invited him down to a race and had him sit in the car with him and sit on the side, and Donovan McNabb changed his whole tune.
When do you ever sit on the side in a NASCAR race?
No, he sat there watching the race up close.
All right, let me say this. Any one of us, maybe not you, but any one of us could get into a race car and drive around the track. We may be in dead last place, but we can all drive around the track a lap.
You can't compete,
and then get out and park the car. We could We could all pull in, get gas, have our tire changed, and do all that. I can't get onto an NFL
competing,
field.
No.
I can't get onto an NFL field and even get off the field.
No, it is the same thing because you and I could go onto the
NFL field.
I would get hurt. No, this is the comparison.
Yes.
That's like me and you going onto an NFL field and throwing each other a pass. You can't compete. That's the same thing. I can throw a football. You can throw a football. You can catch a football.
I don't know that you can throw a football.
Can you complete a pass? You could throw one, but can you complete?
Yeah, but I'm saying his comparison is like, you know, they do that all the time. You know, they do that as like a leisurely thing for fans. It's like, that's not competing, though.
All right, Scott, let me ask you this. If you polled 100 citizens and just asked them, would they be more comfortable in competing driving a race car or playing on a field between the lines, baseball, football, soccer, hockey?
I have basketball. The number one reason why NASCAR, these guys aren't athletes, though. The number one reason. I just came up with it.
Let's hear it.
It's the only sport that allows men and women to compete in the same thing.
So that doesn't mean they're not an athlete. They
can't be athletes.
Just female athletes.
No, I know, but we separate athletes? Them. We separate
that has
in every other
with
sport.
It. That does Scott, not, you, that does you not don't, interpret the dictionary definition of what.
Oh,
whatever.
The dictionary definition. You're hiding behind the dictionary now. Men and women.
No, that means I'm right because I'm using
it's the
dictionary.
No, it's the only
you're being
sport
sexist.
That,
you're being
no,
sexist.
No, I'm not. You're
yes,
actually
you
making my point. It's
no,
the
you're
only
being sexist. Nowhere in the
men
dictionary
men and women
allowed
to play together.
Oh,
look
please.
At how emotional you're getting because you can't make an
I just
intelligent
want to
argument.
You're making a silly point. Between
because you can't
sexy,
make an intelligent argument. You yell louder.
Intelligent argument. I'll say it very lowly. That is ridiculous.
Scott,
even
it's
in,
the only sport men and
curling,
women compete in the same level.
That doesn't mean that the woman is not an athlete. You said it yourself before
right, Scott,
on the show
take a breath.
That
Scott,
Patrick
take
was an athlete.
Breathe. Breathe, breathe. Even in curling, they have men's and women's. Bowling, they have men's and women's.
Yeah.
Ah.
NASCAR.
Separate across the board. Yeah.
Well, are bowlers athletes?
Thank God I'm on this show to come up with these, you know, analogies. Scott would be.
Apparently. They have men's.
Scott would be the David Koresh of sports.
You're talking about screwing sheep. What is it? That's what you're here for.
No, Scott, I'm the one with common sense that says men and women can combine because it's not a sport, it's a social club.
Oh, that's silly.
Chris, please put up a poll. We want to know if people who drive cars are athletes. We'll resolve this tomorrow.
You got it. Good night.